Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I am so excited to be back online. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday. I certainly did, and we're looking forward to a great New Year's. So I'm very excited tonight because I am able to talk about something that Kingstonians, I'm sure a lot of Kingstonians in my age group are very familiar with, and that is the pantomime and the history of the pantomime. I have just been absorbed in all of this material as I read about this, all about the fascination that has been just so prevalent in the making of and putting together of the pantomime. And I am so intrigued with history that you're going to have to bear with me tonight because I do not have a special guest. Hopefully I'll have one next week that can give us more in-depth information. But I've got some great information off of the internet that I will share with you tonight. And as always, I would like some participation from my callers. And I see that we have callers on the board already. So remember, as I always mention, this is a Labrish. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We took 2 weeks off for the holidays. But we'll be here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So what I'd like to do tonight is to start off by giving you a timeline, sort of a history and the progress of the Little Theater Movement itself as per their website. You know, most of the information I always share, whether from the historians or just what I picked up online, is always online that you can go check it out. But I know a lot of times people get busy and they don't have time to do the research that I have so much pleasure in doing. So you can just bear with me while I try to read it. Actually, most of it is in color, all different colors. It's a very colorful website. But the Little Theater Movement has its own website, and they have a timeline to sort of bring us from when they started to where they are today. I also have some very interesting information on the founders of the Little Theater Movement that I found very fascinating, as well as a little insight of the current pantomime, which is actually honoring Ronnie Williams, who I'm sure a lot of you know of or have heard of. I was speaking to one of my local fans this week, and she told me that because she was born and raised in the country, I think Mandeville, that she never ever saw a pantomime. She never went to Kingston to see one. But I know that there are callers, perhaps, from the country who might have been to the pantomime and it was something special. But I know for the Kingstonians, we were very fascinated. And I am hoping tonight to also have a caller who happens to be a relative who actually served in some way as an usher when she was in high school, I think, to the pantomime, or perhaps several of them, and actually met the people who put the whole thing together. So I think you're going to be very fascinated with the show tonight, so I hope you'll stick around and bear with me. And as usual, if you want to interact at any time, because remember, being a Labrish, we're very relaxed, we're not really structured, and sometimes I will go off on my sidebar, and you're welcome to bring your energy to the sidebars too. So feel free to hit 1 on your telephone, which will indicate to me that you want to interact, and I will open up the mic and welcome you. I ask you to just state your name and the city you're calling from so that callers can get an idea of where, you know, how spread out we are. So without any further ado, I'm going to give you the timeline that is published on the Little Theater Movement's website. And the first pantomime was in 1941, and that was Jack on the Beanstalk. Then in 1943, the first show with a local theme was with Louise Bennett, and she performed on the pantomime stage. And the name of that show was, it says, S-O-L-I-D-A-O-A, Soliday and the Wicked Bird. Now, in 1949, they sponsored the Elementary School Drama Festival. In 45. And in 1949 was the first introduction to Anansi as a title character, and it was Blackbird and Brer Nancy. And I'm sure a lot of you remember all those wonderful Anansi stories, that really the Anansi theme came out of Africa and the African culture, as perhaps some of you probably know. Now, in 1960, the West Indian themed pantomime was Carib Gold, and it was set in British Guyana. I suppose the setting was about British Guyana. In 61, the Little Theater opened its doors, which is the actual building, on September 20th at 4 Tom Redcombe Drive, which I think it still is there now. Now, in 1962, and it says here, imported pantomime, Fabian's Rainbow was the story of the Irish immigrant's experience. And it also says Banana Boy is restaged for Jamaica's independence celebration in August. So in 62, they apparently had two performances. In 1963, we had the debut of Queenie's Daughter, the only pantomime to be reviewed two times, in 1966 and in 1973. In 65, we had the 25th anniversary, which was Morgan's Dream of Old Port Royal. And in 67, the revival of Anansi and Pandora, and the start of 4 consecutive shows with Anansi as the title character. Anansi,
and Doomsbury, Moonshine Anansi, and Rockstone Anansi. In 1969, Moonshine Anansi was viewed by Princess Alice, who is aunt of Queen Elizabeth. I never heard of her. And during a royal visit, the introduction of Barbara Gordon's as the author. She's still involved, and I'll tell you a little bit more about her. And as a matter of fact, one of my fans who called in happened to have worked with Dr. Barbara, and I am hoping that one of these days I may be able to get her, or pretty soon I may be able to get her as a guest on our show. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. In 1972, the LTM established the Jamaican Theatre School, where apparently they teach drama and other things there now. In 1975, Miss Lou retired after her appearance in The Witch. In 1978, Greta Fowler, who is part of the couple that actually organized the whole thing in 41, and the stories. I have a beautiful story about the two people who started it. But in 1941, I think, 51, no, where was I? In 1978, she died on November 30th. In 1980, Ronnie Williams died. His last performance was the Honorable All Purpose and something else that I can't read, Princess, which is, I suppose, a Jamaican theme. It's written in red and blue and black, and I have a little challenge with my site, so bear with me here. You can look it up on the website. In 1981, Pirate Princess breaks box office records with 121 shows seen by 100,000 people in the audience. They had 121 shows. Unbelievable. In 1985, the Pantomime Company is formed and presents Trash. Trash was the name of the play, I suppose. In 1986, Private Princess is performed in London by an English company, and that apparently was originally a Jamaican play by a Jamaican playwright. In 1990, 55 celebrates the 50th anniversary. The name of the play was 55, and it celebrated the 50th anniversary of the pantomime. It featured many songs from past pantomimes. The Pantomime Company performed it in Florida, New York, and Toronto. In 1991, Mandaya is seen in Florida and New York and is remounted as part of the Carifest celebrations in Trinidad. In 1992, I'm doing all of this to sort of give you a feeling of what just two people started. I mean, and how larger than life. I'm sure they never even dreamt that what they had a passion for and started in 1941 would have evolved to the extent it has and has served thousands of people. It's just amazing, and I find that so inspiring. So I want to really share with you, bring you up to date, and tell you a little bit about this couple. Anyway, in 1992, we had Reggae Sun, and that traveled to New York and Miami, as does Anansi Come Back in 1993. The first time Anansi is spelt the African style, and that was a decision by the author of the play, which was Miss Barbara Gludon. And Anansi spelled A-N-A-N-C-I, ASI, which is the African version of it, according to them. So 1994, Anansi Comeback is performed at, well, I said that already. In 1997, the Pantomime Company performs August Mawin during the summer in response to the national recognition of Emancipation Day. In the year 2000, Jack and the Maca Tree is the 60th pantomime performed. An exhibition and celebration concert precedes the openings. In 2003, Miss Annie is performed in Toronto, Canada. In 25, the 25th anniversary of Rani Williams' passing, commemorated by the Little Theatre Movement. So, anniversary of Rani Williams' passing. And in 2006, Miss Lou Coverley dies in Toronto. August 6th, body lies in state in the National Arena. On August 8th, an official funeral was held at Hope Memorial Church. And she's buried in the National Heroes Park. She's laid to rest beside her husband, Eric Coverley. The Pantomime Company pays tribute to in song during the service. In 2007, the co-founder of the Little Theatre Movement, Henry Fowler, dies in England. And in 2010, in February, the pantomime director, artistic advisor, mentor, Professor Rex Nettleford, dies. He has contributed to the 2009 and 2010 pantomime, Pirate Jack. And if some of our fans will know that we had the pleasure of having Professor Nettleford with us as our guest a couple months before he died, when he was here in Atlanta for a special event. And I have replayed that a couple of times, or once, and plan to do it again on the anniversary of his transition. So that is the timeline, and the last year, the play that opened on Boxing Day this year is titled Goat Head Soup. And I have a synopsis of what that play is all about, which I will share with you sort of at the last part of the show. So now I'm going to open up the board and ask if anyone here had seen any of these plays that I fumbled through and wanted to make a comment or join in the labyrinth about anything. So I see a hand up. So I'm going to open up the mic to 718-565 in 1 second. Here we go. Good evening. You got Margaret in the backyard, and I got the pantomime fever. Who do I have at 718-565? Hello? Did you mean to put your hand up, 718-565? Yes? Answer me. Hello? I guess not. That must have been a fluke. So I'm going to close the mic to 718-565. Anyone else want to talk? Just let me know. So let's close this. And what I'm going to do now is share with you, which is also online, the early years of the Little Theatre Movement. And they have this information on their own website. Now, the first pantomime, as I mentioned, was Jack on the Beanstalk. In the first pantomime,
I'm not familiar with some of these names, but I'm reading the names as well as I can, because some of our listeners or some people who come by might know of some of these people if they're still around. And we're talking about the first pantomime now, and Roma, spelled R-O-M-A, P-R-E-S-A-N-O, was succeeded as director in the middle of the production by Elinor, E-L-I-N-O-R, L-I-T-H-G-O-W, Lithgow. I am not familiar with those people. Originally, the co-director, who was thoroughly versed in this medium, so apparently the second person preceded the first person, it didn't say why. For this and all subsequent productions, the pantomime had the strong organizing effort of two Jamaicans whose love of the theater, apparently these were foreigners. So they're mentioning now that it had the strong organizing efforts of two Jamaicans whose love of the theater and whose sheer hard work on its behalf over the period of 30 years or more had made their names almost synonymous with the Little Theater movement, Greta and Henry Fowler. Greta Burke, spelled B-O-U-R-K-E, as she was then, belonged to the old Jamaican Todd family of Sportsman's Hall in Trelawney. I don't know if any of our listeners know where Sportsman's Hall in Trelawney is. I had never heard of it before, but, you know, I'm a Kingstonian, so I don't know too much about the country towns. Now, Henry Fowler came from similar lineage in St. Anne. He was founder and headmaster of the Priory School and an independent secondary school along modern lines. I'm sure that lots of people perhaps know about it. And that's spelled P-R-I-O-R-Y, Priory. I think I've heard of it. From the beginning of pantomimes, a dedicated effort was made to bring contrasting racial elements and a variety of amateur talent into a single production. In this first pantomime, Jack and the Beanstalk, the boy, was played by a girl in true English fashion. She was Petra Brownie, the wife of the colonial secretary. The dame was Peggy Dugal. The cast included the witch, played by Miss Ethel Rodd, R-H-O-D-D, headmaster of a city primary school, who was an amateur comedian of repute, and a group of singers who were later to become the Fratz Quartet. No, I knew them. The famous singers of Jamaica folk music. I don't know if anybody on the board remember the Quartet, but I certainly, when I read that, I mean, I just got tingles because I remember them well. Okay. Now, the group of singers who, I just said that already. Now, special dance numbers were choreographed by Hazel Johnson, the Jamaican dance teacher who was attempting to introduce the concept of European ballet in the island. The training of the chorus and the large dance numbers fell to Mrs. Lithgow. The older pupils of Hazel Johnson's dance studio were brought into the show. I don't know if anyone knows those names. The members, the pantomime remained until, no, wait a minute. The members of the chorus and dancers
from the developing dance school founded in the amateur theater, in which the pantomimes remained until 1960. Much rehearsed excitement, theater fever, and cast party enjoyment was made because of that first show. It was just so exciting, is what they're trying to say. The pantomime opened on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, as it does in Britain. And in this match, the natural entertainment pattern of the people of Jamaica. The yearly show brought before the public of Jamaica old and new talent. The show business career of seasoned actors such as Louise Bennett, Ronnie Williams, Lee Gordon, and many others received a notable boost from the pantomime. In addition, the pantomime stimulated the writing of original scripts, the composition of original music, and the development of modern local choreography, as well as encouraging the formation of theater orchestras. These orchestras eventually replaced the Jamaica Military Band. The members of this band, however, formed the nucleus of many musical assemblies. Major Robert Jones, who directed the Jamaica Military Band, was a tower of strength in the first pantomimes. And continued for many years to provide a sensitive accompaniment, such as that which he had displayed with the Ivy Baxter Dance Group. The lead actor and actresses in the pantomimes were at first from the expatriate community of Kingston and had some experience in amateur dramatics abroad, or were from the resident Jamaican white and light group, which had talent and dramatic ability. It was interesting to note the gradual merging of shade and the reversal of the promotion of dark light in the cast of Jamaican pantomimes over the past 20 to 30 years. The first leads were Margaret Dugal, singer, sister of Greta Burke, who was this lady who helped started it, Doris Duperfy, and Clinton Nunes, N-U-N-E-S. I know some Nunes. Robert Verity, I'm familiar with that name. Roma F-I-T-C-H-E-L-T, and Felicia Pallisinger. Margaret Margaret Lauder, L-A-U-D-E-R, and Marie Mannings Carley, and many others who joined to create the merger of English and Jamaican tradition. As time went on, notably darker heroines began to emerge. Among those were Hope Seeley, Mercedes Kirkwood, who had a trained soprano voice, and Carmen Manley. Among leading men were Keith Sasso, Neville Willoughby, and Eddie Thomas. Boy, I remember that Eddie Thomas name. The need for native-looking leads followed on the whole, if not entirely, the development of local material in the storyline. English pantomime is based upon a nursery tale fairy story and certain traditional elements of comedy. Variety acts, dance numbers, singing scenes of transformation are built into its script. At first, the Jamaican pantomimes followed this pattern. Very soon, however, a Jamaican theme would replace the English nursery tale. The first truly Jamaican pantomime was the third one, Soliday, S-O-L-I-D-A-Y, Soliday and the Wicked Bird. That was the first truly Jamaican pantomime. The script was written by Vera Bell and was based on a Jamaican legend, probably the Maroon Tale of Bulaboo, B-U-B-I-A-B-O. However, it was not as successful as those which had gone before. The fifth performance was Aladdin, the ninth, Bluebeard and Brian Nancy, which linked the well-known legend of Bluebeard to that of Jamaican folk figure and Nancy and the Spider-Man. Bluebeard and Brian Nancy came to be called just Busha Bluebeard. The character of Bluebeard was made to fit that of an estate overseer called Busha in Jamaica. Its first scene developed out of creative drama sessions held at a summer school at Knox College in 1958. Noel Vaz, with at least 7 successful productions for the little theater behind him, was the guest tutor in drama. The exciting summer school version, which was presented on the last night, included participation of such people as Leela James Tomlinson, veteran amateur folklorist and professor of deep knowledge of things Jamaican. The final script was prepared by Louise Bennett in conjunction with Noel Vaz, the producer. And the finished production at Ward Theatre, the home of pantomime, brought to the Jamaican public Jamaican songs and dialect, mixed and original music by Jamaican Barbara Furland and Englishman Oxford St. John. It was an imaginative and beautiful production. Harold Brownlow, one of the old timers of Jamaica Theatre, was Bluebeard in this first version. Louise Bennett, now well known, played Nana, which was the nursemaid, and Shirley Wood, a teenager, was the lead girl. Ballet dances were arranged by the Soonish School, S-O-O-H-I-H, whose master was same name, S-O-O-H-I-A, of Russia. Creative dance was supplied by former students of the Hazel Johnson School, who were brought together and trained by Ivy Baxter. I'm sure lots of the listeners are familiar with that name. The story of Bluebeard lent itself well to woodland scenes. It was adapted to the Jamaican setting in a dance called the Garden of Weeds. Oh, I hope it was the right kind of weeds. In classical ballet style, the dance of weird creatures was one of the most effective ever done in this type of show. The imaginative costumes of this number were designed by Stella Shaw. I wonder if any of the listeners are familiar with some of these people, because I never heard of some of them. But Stella Shaw did the costume designs for this very imaginative rendition of Busha Bluebeard. So with that said, I want to see if any of the listeners have any input in this interesting story of the first set of productions and how the pantomime became Jamaicanized, because we see here that it really evolved from, you know, the really English style of doing the children's story with music and dance to doing the Jamaican style stories in the folklore and starting to use the language and the settings in the backdrops and things of truly Jamaican style. So, as I said, let me see some hands on the board, because I'm now going to tell you about really part of what really intrigues me is when anyone has an idea and it becomes a passion and they move it forward by sometimes trying to get someone else to support the idea. And together, you know, these two people who were not married initially when they started in the theater, you know, they were involved with the first production. And the two people I'm talking about, which is Henry and Greta Fowler, she was Greta Burke before. I think they might have been had foreign parents, but they were actually, both of them were born in Jamaica, I believe. I'm going to read about both of them. And what I found interesting is that it mentioned here that Henry was very instrumental in helping Norman Washington Manley formulate the People's National Party. You see how one thing can lead to the other. Because I always say, you know, I don't do politics on the show, and I'm not speaking from a political point of view, really, but just the fact that although he's known for theater, he's also known to help Norman at the time with what he was trying to do, you know, in politics. So I really found that very interesting. And here's another article that I thought was interesting too. I don't know the date of this. It's 1958, it says. The late Norman Manley opened the rehearsal room at the actual physical place on Tom Redcombe Road, I'm sure is what they're perhaps talking about, in 1958. The growing pains of the Little Theatre Movement were now very evident. A group of Jamaican community leaders got together to organize the financing of the Little Theatre structure. Designs for the theatre were being accepted, and finally a design by Gilbert Partley, P-R-A-T-L-E-Y, was chosen. Mr. Partley and the late Sir Noel Coward then had detailed discussion, and the final design was approved by the LTM, which is short for Little Theatre Movement. Lady Foote, wife of Jamaica's governor, Sir Hugh Foote, was very interested in the LTM, and she was instrumental in getting Sir Noel involved with the theatre. In 1961, Sir Kenneth Blackburn, with Mr. Glasspole as the main speaker, officially opened the Little Theatre. At the time of its opening, the Little Theatre invited a group of prominent personalities in both theatre and public life to be honorary members. Wait till you hear this list, folks. This included Marian Anderson, Nat King Cole, Noel Coward, he was not yet knighted, Oscar Hammingstein, Louis Armstrong, Honorable and Mrs. Norman Manley, and Sir Alexander Bustamante. Isn't that something? And this was put together in 1958. I thought that was very interesting. Now, the Little Theatre Drama is the island, in the island, just a minute, I missed my place here. The list included Sir John, G I E L U D, Marian Anderson. Oh, I read that before. Forgive me. They started, they founded, they all helped Greta and Henry to start the theater. Now, I found this article someplace else, I think. I don't know if it was at the LTM's website. But I found that very interesting that even Nat King Cole and, you know, all those people were really involved in starting it. And I wonder if some of the people who have participated in various part of the cast and all of these people, if they know much about the history of how it was started. So I'm hoping that this medium will help to spread some of the word, because I really just find that sometimes, you know, people don't really know the depth of what they're involved in and how it came together. And I think by just getting a taste of how something can so huge, if you look at how small it started and how it gathered momentum as it progressed, it's just amazing. So all of those people helped to raise funds. And the whole idea, the slogan that this couple really wanted, the slogan, drama, the art where all arts meet. And that was the slogan that was put together by the Fowlers. It is a constant reminder of the high cultural and educational function of the theater. Now, in 1973, at this time, that is the time this article was written, the Little Theater has come a long way. Still headed by Henry and Greta Fowler, the compounds of the theater are as busy as ever. The National Pantomime, the mainstay of the LTM, has never missed a year for the past 33 years and continues to thrill thousands who attend yearly productions. The drama school, which became a reality in 1969, is constantly expanded to meet the demands of the interested students of the theater. So, and it still is fulfilling that slogan today. And I'm sure they're constantly expanding. And when I think of all the people that have contributed in different ways over the years, the costume designers, the set designers, the people who actually work there to put things together, as well as the instructors who are now involved in teaching drama and teaching dance and teaching all of that. It's just really inspiring to me that this was started by just two people with a love for theater and a passion for leaving a legacy behind. And that's what I'm always encouraging my listeners to do. You know, think about leaving something that will live after you're gone. Now, it might not be as big as the Little Theater movement put together, but even within your own family or your group of friends or, you know, something in your community, we all have something to contribute. And I'm sure that even though you might not think it's important, it is to somebody someplace. So now let me tell you a little more. Are there any callers on the board that would like to interact? Now I see 973 is here with me. 973-373-646-479. That is if you recognize your number and you want to interact. 631-451. Just hit 1 on your telephone, and I'll be more than happy to open up the mic to you, because
tonight because I don't have a guest. I'm getting a little, I would love to have some interaction from the callers in. And for the people listening online, unfortunately, I'm not able to do the talk thing with you. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. But if you want to join the Labrish, please just pick up your telephone and dial 718-766-4558, and I'll immediately see you on my magic board. And if you hit one on your telephone, I'll open up the mic to you. And I see that 631-451 wants to join the Labrish, so your mic is open, and you got Margaret here on the hot seat. Who do I have?
Chit Sherwood.
Excuse me?
Chi-Chi Sherwood.
Hi, Margaret.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to the backyard.
Where
are you calling?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. What city are you calling me from?
New York, Mount Vernon, New York.
Oh, Mount Vernon. Okay. Well, welcome, Mount Vernon. What do you have to say? I just found all of this information so exciting.
About the pantomime?
Yes, and, you know, the starting of it and all the people who are involved in the background.
Well, listen, I've been in 9 pantomimes.
Really?
With Miss Lou, with Ronnie, Charles Hyatt.
Wow! So you know a lot of the names I've been fumbling through.
Yeah.
Now, did you know the Fowlers?
Yes. Greta and Aunt Henry Fowler, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes,
Mr. Fowler liked me very much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So tell us a little bit about your experience with them.
Okay. Lord Skelly Barrow, Charles Hyatt.
Uh-huh.
Louise Bennett.
Wow.
Randy Williams. Charles Hyatt.
Wow.
All those people used to perform, Miss Lou and Rex. I danced with the company.
Wow, that's exciting.
Uh-huh. We were a
and,
company.
You know, so many of them have left us, but look at the legacy.
Oh, yes. I think
look
is,
at the legacy.
Oh, yes. Pantomimes are not what they used to be. Yeah, even some of the performers, Maureen Cassidy, one of the Cassidy girls, she used to dance with Madame So in the Bush of Bluebeard and all those.
Yes. So are you able to tell us a little bit about what you think the difference is? Because I left Jamaica in 1959.
Yeah, I think.
And I have not seen a lot of the, you know, I perhaps saw about 2 or 3.
Yeah, well, the thing is, with Miss Lou and Ronnie gone, and it's not the same, you know, and they used to do it on the folk legends, like Morgan's Dream of Old Port Royal was about the pirates and Port Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls, you know, in the Brawley houses.
Right.
You know, so I was
Ladies of the Night?
Yeah, the Ladies of the Night. I was one of the Ladies of the Night in Morgan's Dream of Old Port Royal.
Where you come to bump?
Uh-huh.
You remember that saying?
Yes. Story comes
All from. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a wonderful time. I mean, I used to spend my time in the show, in the wings, just watching. I remember one in Morgan's Dream, I think it was, one of the ladies who played the leading role, I've forgotten her name, it can't just come to me. She couldn't make it that night, and I, just by standing in the wings and doing the part, I was able to, and learning it from her every night in the pantomime, whatever number of nights it was, I was able to go on and perform her role.
Oh, how exciting!
Yeah.
Do you know if they ever, was there anyone you were involved in where it was actually filmed?
I don't know that there was any filming. I don't remember anybody.
Or recorded?
Maybe recorded. Maybe taped. Uh-huh. You know?
Because I always wonder about that, you know,
yes,
if there
is anything stored
anywhere with any of the old performers and performances. You know what I mean?
Maybe you
now
could, I don't know if anyone from Radio Jamaica would know, but, you know, JVC, we do excerpts from Pandemonium, but they are gone, so I don't know. You could, I will ask Admiral McKeon if she happens to know, you know, Puttus and Morgy.
Yes.
The lady who used to play Puttus. I could ask her when I speak to her if she knows of any recording.
Yes. But it would be good just to hear, you know, the actual performance. Interesting. So you were able to learn the part just by standing in the wings seeing her perform at
night. The girls used to be in there playing all kind of games and things. I used to stand in the wings every night for all
Isn't
the parts
that something?
And I was able to do that role.
It's interesting because I suppose now in a performance, I am assuming that things can happen, and even the lead role person always have like a second that would perform for them in case they couldn't get it because of traffic or an accident or illness. But in the old days, they didn't have that.
No, they didn't. Not that I know of.
And I
tell you, that was something, because that night I said, I can do the part, and they let me do it. And it came off.
And the audience, I'm sure, didn't know any difference.
Oh,
because once you're on.
Yeah.
You're on.
Yeah,
exciting.
Yeah.
So what was the, like, after the performance? Did you all have, like, a discussion, a party? What went on?
No, we always go out after the pantomimes. We used to go frequent Gunboat Beach and all those things after pantomimes, or we go someplace and, you know, stay late. And my mother used to keep her lamp on her bed open until I got home, because she said, boy, she couldn't go to sleep when I was out there. But that's how good it was. Nobody was bothering you. You could come in anytime.
Oh, yes.
The door was left unlocked. The windows were unlocked. It was a real nice time.
Yes. Yeah. And most of your performances was where? Ward Theatre Little Theatre?
Ward Theatre, my dear. That was it.
Ah.
I used to take the bus and go down there.
And where did you live?
At Fernandez Road, off Half a Tree Road. Not Fernandez Road. Graydon Avenue, off Half a Tree Road.
I see. Mm-hmm. Now, once you get there, did you have people to put your makeup on and all of that now?
No, we learned to put our makeup on. We learned to put it on. They didn't have anybody making us up. We knew how to put on makeup. I don't remember how we knew, but we learned.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Did you take home the costume, or the costumes were
kept? No, they stayed at the theater. There's a costume room.
So when you get there, you get into the costume and you are ready.
We got our costumes, and the costume mistress would sort them and put them in the rooms. Or we go and take what we have and put them together where we're in the dressing room.
Now, at that time, was there any compensation? Did you get compensated for being involved?
No, we didn't get any money, no.
I see.
At Christmas time, we would go up to... At Christmas time, we would have... Is it Christmas or New Year's? We would go up to Miss Lou's house in Gordontown.
Uh-huh.
And they would do a suckling pig on the spit, and we performed excerpts from the pantomimes.
Wow.
And then we had suckling pig and all the good food there for Christmas and New Year's.
Right, so it was a, like a good social group
it's
to be involved with.
A social group, very nice mm-hmm. social group. The dancers, the singers. The at one time, I think the Fratz Quintet sang in the pantomime too.
Yes, I just mentioned their names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not their names, but I didn't yes. know they didn't mention the individual names
like
here, but they said the group.
At intermission time, you know, you would have them singing.
Right.
They're
right.
all gone now.
Oh yes, I'm sure that they're you know they're all gone.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you interacting with us and telling us your little story.
Yeah.
It is so good to go back in your memory bank and you know recall
yes.
pleasant events. And,
oh yeah.
There's so much going in the world that we can get involved in that's not pleasant.
Yeah.
So when we get an opportunity to share things that, you know, has helped to make us happy and
mm-hmm.
stronger and expose us.
I
think it's just so wonderful.
Those were beautiful days. I was just saying, I don't know when we're going to see those days again. Because right now, pantomime don't grab me like it used to, you know?
Right,
but
right. Well, have you
seen
any recently?
I have not seen one recently. Even when they
right.
come
I know that I mentioned
here.
When it came to New York 1 year, I forgot. I didn't even know that they traveled, you know, the whole pantomime travel.
I didn't know that either. I think they were at Lehman College or somewhere up this way. Excerpt
oh,
up.
I
yeah.
see.
Yeah, I think so, in the Bronx, you know. I think
right.
they came to Lehman College. But that was
right.
long ago.
Uh-huh. But, you know, in researching all of this pantomime stuff, I came across information that I really never knew before. I think I mentioned when I did the segment I had built it, Discover Jamaica, One Parish at a Time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did that segment, I know when I spoke about Kingston, there was information about an early theater.
Mm-hmm.
An early theater. But tonight, I stumbled on some information about black performers in 1862
mm-hmm.
that were performing. There's even, which I'm going to do another show about, there's even one or two mentioned that were doing comedy in the dialect before Miss Lou. Isn't
well,
that something?
Yeah, I remember there was Bim and Bam. Slim
yes,
and Sam,
they mentioned about Bim and Bam too.
Slim and Sam,
but even before
Amos
Bim and Bam.
Amos and Andy, Rocker and Sandy.
Right. Several
yes.
of those.
Yes.
And that is before the pantomimes were going on.
I don't know if it was before. I don't remember. But I know, or during the time of the pantomimes. Well, in the 1800s, I don't think the pantomimes
right.
were
we weren't
going
even
on.
Born. But
yeah, right.
yes. So there is so much to really discover and learn
yeah.
about the artistry, you know, all the people that were really just gifted.
But look at this. Before they had all these the road diggers, you know, the people who fixed
mm-hmm.
the road and paved the road. They used to do the digging songs.
Songs, yes, I remember that because I had a relative who, one of my uncle-in-laws, I think, was a supervisor at the KCC.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was quite young, but, you know, whenever we went where he was working with these people,
yeah.
or went to check on them or something, they would have one person singing,
yeah,
and then the other, all
like
the people dig.
Yeah,
when they didn't have the machinery.
He would sing and he would dance and they would dig.
Yes,
and,
yes,
and
like
you,
one person would sing something and they'd say, and
ooh,
they go down
right.
with the pickaxe.
Right, right.
Oh, my, it was so fascinating as a child to watch them, you know. And
yeah.
it made sense because they did it together and
oh,
it was
yeah.
fun. The singing made
it
fun and not as tedious.
Yeah, that's exactly. While they're singing and they're digging, they don't feel the
mm-hmm.
stress of the job.
Right. And they were all sort of extending the same amount of energy.
Energy, yes.
Same time.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man, it was really, really cool.
And then
but
there
I
was
wanted...
the John Canoe at Christmas time.
Yes, yes.
You remember the John Canoe?
Oh, yes, yes. We talked about that even when we did the Christmas show.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And there are, you know, all of the shows are archived. And we have done some very interesting shows and had some, you know, fans who gave personal stories of. I remember one year one woman talked about she was so excited about getting out to see the Jankone procession that she put her clothes on the wrong side, inside out.
Yeah.
And it's like when they got back home.
Yeah.
That she realized, but it shows you how exciting all of that can be for you as a young child.
Well, and as a young child, I was terribly scared of them.
Yes.
Because the devil with the fork and the, you know, those things are so colorful and, you know, so traditional of Jamaica. And that's one of the things that Miss Lou and some of the people, you know, who did like Ivy Baxter and all that, they used to really capture the old, you know, feeling.
Right.
But there's no, these young people, they don't know anything about that. And Joyce and Shirley Campbell are gone. So, especially
yes,
Joyce.
And that's why we have to do our thing on Backyard Labrish, because, you know, sooner or later, the young people will want to know a little bit about what happened during our period. So
yeah.
I know they might not seem that they're interested now, but, you know, I think it's important for us to that lived through those periods,
you
to
know,
really leave. That's what we're doing. We're leaving a living legacy because
yeah.
the kids not doing much reading anymore. They're more listening.
Yes.
And watching.
And they're on the computer, too. So.
Right. So we'll be on the computer, too. If they Google certain things, they'll hear us. They'll hear this discussion.
Yeah.
So I am not, you know, I know that it may seem like they're not interested now, but I know that we, as sometimes, were guilty of the same thing. That our elders might have been saying that we were not interested in their history. Because I remember a lot of times my mother wanted to tell me some things about her when she was young. And at that time, I wasn't ready to hear. I was too busy doing other things that I think were more important.
Well,
but as I grew older and she wasn't around anymore, I had an interest. And wondered why I didn't get it when I was younger.
Yeah, well,
and she was trying to tell me.
The difference with me is that I've always been interested in dance ever since I could remember. I used to hide and go to dance classes. When my mother would ask me, why am I coming home so late? I was telling her I was doing extra work at school.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. You see, this was
but
my
it was
thing
wonderful
I,
that you were able to really blossom into it and become a performer.
Yeah, because as a matter of fact, I remember I started going to classes at Ivy Baxter, dance classes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my brother got me ballet shoes and all that and got me to go to take ballet classes at Madame Sui. You remember Madame Sui?
Yes. I think I saw her name here before. Yes, that's what it is, Madame Sui.
Japanese lady, very tiny lady.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
And
that's interesting.
Mhm. And then when all this thing was going at school, I went to Ivy Baxter School. I heard about it, and I went there, and I told her that I was working because she only took working girls. So one of the Campbell sisters said to me, you know, when you came to class there, Miss Baxter said that this young girl came and told her that she was working, but she knew she wasn't working. But anyway, she had me taking classes there for the creative dancing. And then this was going on and on and on, and I'm going to private lessons and I'm this and that. Graduate School. And then Alma Makien, Alma Hilton Putus, you know, from Morgan Putus, she started working on a program, well, a ballet, a show called Once Upon a Seaweed. And I'm there rehearsing, coming home late, and didn't think that, oh, my God. I was so involved in the dancing and everything, I didn't say, oh, when the show is going at War Theater, how am I going to tell my mother?
Wow.
So anyway, how did you work it out?
My brother said, don't worry. So he told an aunt of mine, and she invited my mother to come to the show at War Theater because my mother said, no well-thinking girl would dance and this and that.
Uh-huh.
And so when she came to the dance, to the show, Once Upon a Seaweed and saw me, she couldn't believe it. And after that, she never bothered me again.
Isn't that sweet?
Got into the dance company, National Dance Company.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, I would rehearse and I would come home. I'd be so tired, my mother would wash my feet for me because, you know, you don't
A mother's love. But you see, you were blessed to have a brother.
Yeah.
Who intervened.
Yeah, and he was a theater person, you know. So.
Yes. That is a wonderful story.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah, anyway, and
please,
I need you
to the audience
me.
Again, you know, we have people come by after the show is aired. So please tell them again your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Gertrude Sherwood, otherwise known as Chichi. That's my nickname. I'm calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
And where were you born and raised?
In Kingston, Jamaica.
Kingston, okay. All right, well, I just wanted to get back there.
Hello, I'm Margaret.
Yes? Yes?
This is Janine from Long Island.
How is Janine from Long Island? How come you're on the same line?
Because I know my girlfriend, Chich, would be able to help you out, so.
Oh,
in listening, I couldn't
Janine
help
from
you out
Long Island.
Yes.
Oh, so, my goodness, that
so
was
I
very.
I called her and asked her to help you out, you know, because I know that she knew a lot about the pantomime.
Right, she has been on the show already.
Yes.
And I recognize her voice. Right, Miss Chichi?
Oh, yes.
That's
you
why
have
she's
been
coming up on my number.
Rex Nettleford's story.
Right.
Yeah, but I need to talk to you because, you know, the 50th anniversary of the dance company is coming up next year.
Yes, you told me. Or this year. I thought it was this year.
Yeah, this year coming up. Sorry, I said next year. Because
yes. We are in the year already.
All right. So
yes.
A group of us are going down on the 26th of July.
Right. So. Well, we'll talk, you know, we can talk privately and perhaps set up something about that.
Yes, and I'd like you to help us, you know, in whatever way you can.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it before we and then we can go on the air.
I'm
I
so
want to
glad
share with.
Excuse me.
Go on.
I'm so glad I've lived in the years that I've lived, so that I could meet all these people, and take part in some of the culture, the cultural things in Jamaica.
Ditto. Oh yes.
Ditto.
I feel privileged to be born there. Actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't think of anywhere else I would rather be born. But
yes,
I want to tell you a little bit about Mr. Fowler, Henry.
Yes.
And it was considered a progressive teacher and champion.
Yes,
of
he was
a
at Priority School, remember? Isn't
yes,
it
yes, yes. Yes, Priory, yeah.
Priory.
And
Priory.
This is I think this was written by I don't know if it's someone at the Gaina Company or something, but I got it off of one of the websites. The distinguished Jamaican educator, Henry Fowler, who has died aged 91 in Oxford, was also an important figure in the People's National Party, which championed for the island's colonial independence from Britain. Born to a planter, Horace Fowler and his wife, Agnes, in the hill country of Manigue in central Jamaica.
Yes.
He was educated at Jamaican College in Kingston and then went to Worcester College in Oxford in 1935. That's the year I was born. So he went in 1935 as a Rhodes Scholar.
Scholar, yeah.
Here.
It's Jamaica. You said Jamaican something, but it's Jamaica. Not Jamaican.
Jamaica College in Kingston.
Jamaica College, yes.
Yes, Jamaica College in Kingston is where he went.
Constant String Road, I think.
Right. And then he went to England in 1935 as a Rhodes Scholar.
Mm-hmm.
There, he acted in Oxford University Dramatic Society productions,
mm-hmm.
threw himself energetically into the activities of the Oxford Union Debating Society and became chairman of the Oxford University Labor Club.
Mm-hmm.
He lectured in Britain for the League of Nations Society, attended the Brussels International Conference in 1936, was assistant secretary to the British delegation led by Lord Robert Cecil to the British University World Student Conference in Paris in 1937, and was a representative on the British University's mission in Prague in the same year. With the Second World War looming, Fowler headed back to a teaching post in Jamaica. But the interests of his Oxford years were to shape his whole career. He became one of the original band of supporters and organizers of the PNP, the first fully organized political party in Jamaica, whose leader was Norman Manley, also an Oxford graduate.
Yeah.
See the connection?
Yeah.
Manley's party was dedicated to political independence for Jamaica. From 1939 to 1943, Fowler edited Public Opinion, a journal closely associated with the PNP.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Chichi?
Yes, I heard of that.
Oh, interesting. Now, with his own progressive views on education, Fowler gave up his job teaching English literature at Woolmer's Boys School, leading Kingston Grammar School, to open his own Henry Fowler's private school for boys in suburban Kingston in 1942.
Yeah.
It lasted for 2 years. One old boy, later to become a diplomat, said that as a rebellious youth, he was allowed to smoke his cigarettes over breakfast, provided he was prepared to discuss intellectually with Fowler matters of importance in the daily newspaper. So he would allow this rebellious boy to smoke as long as he would discuss and debate him intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
In 1944, he had gained sufficient reputation to launch the Priory School, initially a private co-educational secondary school. He committed to focus on developing the specific talent of his pupils. Musical students, for example, were allowed to concentrate on music rather than on other subjects. Unfortunately, the Priory, with its higher than average fee, gained a reputation for snobbery, never Fowler's intention. By the time he retired from the head teachership in 1973, he had ensured that the Priory would live on by transferring it into the fledgling State Educational
system whereby it could receive support grants. Always interested in the arts and particularly the theater, Fowler with his future wife, Greta Burke, took over the organization of the Little Theater Movement in Kingston in 1941. The LTM, which still presents a lavish musical show every Christmas, began life as a replica of English pantomime, but it very quickly developed into a Jamaican musical with the aid of highly creative directors, writers and composers, and performers, including Louis Bennett and Charles Hyatt, focusing on local themes, contemporary as well as folklore. The LTM began its School of Drama in 1972, later to be incorporated in what is now the Edna Manley College of Visual and Performing Arts. Fowler's interest spread through cultural activities of all kinds, including expansion of library facilities. He acted for some years as consultant in the Jamaican Ministry of Education and was a foundation member and eventually chairman of the board of the Jamaica Broadcasting Corporation, which we know as JBC, right?
Right.
He was seconded to UNESCO in 1977 to serve as Jamaica's appointed ambassador to UNESCO in Paris, where Greta died in 1978. He returned to UNESCO as Jamaica's permanent representative with the rank of ambassador until 1994. So she actually died in Paris.
Yeah.
Fowler is survived by his second wife, the former Beryl Chitty, whom he married in 1989 and whom had been posted to Jamaica at one time as a deputy British High Commissioner. They had met originally in his Oxford days.
Mm.
So isn't that interesting? He married Greta, who was a Jamaican born, but his second wife he knew from he was in college. Isn't that interesting?
Right. There's something.
I thought that was really quite interesting. Hmm.
Oh, the Fowlers are very nice, especially Mr. Fowler. He used to like me so much. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And did you know him with the first wife or the second wife? Which one?
I knew him with Greta. I never knew he had another wife because I had I traveled and lost sight of them.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I went to London.
Apparently, apparently he remarried after she died because, they were both together in Paris when she died.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
goodness. How old was she when she died?
I don't know if I have it in my notes here. But I know he perhaps lived a lot
longer than she did.
He did, yes, because he was 91 when he passed away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'd like to get that literature from you about him.
Yes, I'm going to try and post it on my website, but I'll be glad to send you, the links or the written material. That's no problem.
Okay.
But I just find all of these stories quite fascinating.
Oh, yes.
And I hope listeners on the board have done the same. I found it fascinating, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time we had those two crank calls, and I don't know why.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
One of them is still on the board, actually. I can see the numbers. And he mentioned he was calling from New Jersey, but if he's still listening, I hope he will know that we're not here to play. We are here to, and I want to take this moment for the rest of the listeners that may come by to say that we're here each Wednesday on Blog Talk Radio. This is Backyard Labyrinth. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica.
land we love.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to be funny or play tricks. I mean, it's a very relaxed show, but, you know, the callers, like the information that the callers had to share tonight with us is not what we really appreciate as part of what we're trying to do here. And I'm not, you know, trying to criticize or be rude because people feel they can say and do anything nowadays. But the objective of this show is for one reason, and that is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve. And
Go ahead,
Chichi.
No, I was just saying, I just hope a lot of Jamaicans are tuned into your program because, especially the younger people, it's good for them to know about the culture of Jamaica. It's a wonderful place.
That's right. And, you know, as I said before, the shows are here forever, really. And if there are certain keywords, if they Google it, the show will come up.
Mm-hmm.
So I am hoping, you know, that we can rest assured that we are leaving a living
legacy of
the life we knew when we lived in Jamaica. And I think it's so important to have people who actually live the history, to talk
mm-hmm.
about the history. Because, you know, the people who didn't or didn't have the opportunity because they didn't have the tools that we have now, people have to make up stories about them. And
right.
sometimes those stories are not always accurate.
Yeah.
You know, because it's somebody else's opinion of what the person was like or what things were like.
Yeah.
So I think it is important, and I encourage the seniors, you know, to become part of the movement and to leave their voice and their stories.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we need to do that because we now have the tools to do it.
Right.
In my mother's days, they didn't. My mother left me a lot of written material and tapes. But unfortunately, I had a fire in my house that destroyed everything.
Oh.
The beauty of this medium we're using is that it resides in the clouds, as
right.
they call it. You know, it's in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
So it cannot be destroyed.
That's right.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
And there are so many seniors that are not embracing it because they think it's difficult or it's not cool or it's too public. But I just absolutely love it, especially since I have been the victim of losing all of my information because of a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had tapes that my mother had made. My mother, you know, wrote poetry or recited poetry on her tape recorder. I didn't even know my mother was so artistic
mm-hmm.
until I was going through some of her things after she passed suddenly. So, you know, for me to be able to not have, for me to have them and then all of a sudden not have them, you know how excited that I am about this particular medium.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, it cannot be destroyed.
Right.
So with that said, I really appreciate you ladies joining me tonight in celebrating the history of the pantomime. And as I mentioned, you know, when we have a passion for something, like Miss Chichi, your passion for dancing
mm-hmm.
served you well, and I'm glad that you can share the fact that even though you might not have been upcoming to your mother with everything,
mm-hmm.
you were doing it secretly, your brother helped you out, and she became very proud and supportive
yeah, right.
of your efforts, right?
Right, right.
Yes, yeah, so that was a really a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Janine,
yes.
thanks for encouraging Miss Chichi to join us tonight.
You're
and
welcome.
You know how we can get people to listen to this is to tell people about it.
Right.
And for the listeners coming by, if you'd like to join my mailing list, just go to the website. We do have a website, which is www.pantomime.com. backyardlavish.com, and there you can leave me a comment, send me your email, and ask me to put you on my list. And I only send promotions out to tell you what the show will be like.
Okay.
And I think next week we're going to have some more time to talk about the history of all the artistic people who contributed in different ways all over the world. Mm-hmm. Because some of them, they might have been Jamaican artists, but they went abroad, and some came back and some never came back.
Oh, yeah.
But they, you know, they performed all over the world. In long, long ago. So we have really made our mark, and we're continuing to make our mark all over the world.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree, Miss Gigi?
Oh, yes. Miss Lou was known in London, and Charles Hyatt, he lived there for a while, and, you know, he did his shows.
Right, right. And there are lots of other names that I have come across that we might not know those people personally, but we certainly know the names.
Mm-hmm.
And they, even before our time, were involved in theater and drama and art and, you know, writing and producing things in their own time, which, you know, a lot of other colonial countries were not. As much as we in the Jamaican community were.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say we, I'm not necessarily talking about our period, but, you know, just the people who were born there.
Oh, yes.
Or who became a part of the Jamaican society one way or another. Because right now there is a historian that I use her material quite often, Dr. Joy Lumsden, who was not born in Jamaica, but she met her husband, who was born in Jamaica, when they were both in college in London.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been residing in Jamaica for a very long time and still resides there, because I got the pleasure of meeting her when I went back to Jamaica late last year for a wedding.
Oh.
That was quite a thrill. And I'm hoping that one day she will want to be a guest on the show.
So with that said,
we're running out of time. So I want to thank all my listeners online and those who may come by later on. And to thank you, ladies, for joining the Lavrish, and hope that you enjoy the little tidbits that we have shared about the connection of the pantomime and, you know, Jamaica, of people who were born there, people who started it. I just think it's all fascinating. And it shows that anyone with the passion to do something can accomplish what they want if they have the desire and the tenacity and, you know, just go for it.
Okay.
So I'm encouraging all the young people and the not so young, even the seniors, we still have some things to contribute. And I say, if you have the passion for it, go for it.
Amen.
Yes.
So with that said, ladies, you will join me in saying that we are here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica all together now.
Love.
Good night.
Love. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, I am smiling. It is always a pleasure to share with you all and the world on Backyard Lavrish. So I hope to see you next week, where we'll have another interesting subject. And as I end all my shows, make it a great week. Good night.
Good night.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Chit.
Hi, Janine.
Yeah, hold on.